जो दिखता है वो बिकता है.
I feel like with MNCs a little bit, like they're not going to come down and be like, yeah, if it's good for the world, it's good for India. It's going to be their approach. But an Indian's going to be like, what is the best drink that I can give people given we understand this market, we understand the taste. I think it's that growth mentality, right? Like, how can I make this better?
I mean, look at how loyal people are, right? To their brands and alcohol, right? They will not shift. And that is, you know, that is something which is fantastic in this category. The stickiness is incredible.
We purposely chose like a not so cost effective route. If you truly believe in it, then you have to take a harder call. It might not be the best economic decision, but what's more important for us right now is to have a clear story.
Yeah,
we have to be honest and authentic with it. So Himalayan water, Himalayan malts.
No, some break his bill fridge.
It's sort of good in a way that he's breaking your whiskey and wanting to consume it, because then he's not bothered about ko dekh nahi raha hai. He'll actually drink.
Choose, yeah.
What he wants to drink.
Yeah.
That is the truest test. Ki wo shop band hone ke baad khud kya pee raha hai.
Respect your employees, respect your partners, and put the customer at the center of everything, and never lose sight that the product has to delight.
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of The Barbershop. We have with us one of our favorite entrepreneurs from Razor's Edge, someone who actually blew open the market when he came and discussed it on The Barbershop last year, Shivam from Ginglani Distilleries and owner of the brand Woodsman, which I personally love and sits very proudly in my bar. Shivam, welcome back.
Thank you.
And today we also have with us Suhasini and Pradeep. I will let them do their introductions, but today's episode is to see how Shivam has been building his business from what he discussed last time to the investment that we all made in him, and now how he is seeing the market as we enter 2024. So welcome, tune in, and hope you have a good time. Shivam, welcome to The Barbershop again, and thank you so much. It's been a privilege to have invested with you. But before we go into your business, would just love, Suhasini, you have found a whole host of people who love you as well, but for the new and uninitiated, a quick introduction from you and Pradeep will be great.
Thank you, Shantanu. I probably don't need an introduction because I came on your show before. And I think most people got introduced to me through that show. Suhasini, founder at Yoga Bars, do something quite the opposite of what Shivam does. Sell something diametrically opposite, but lover of brands, lover of all things marketing. So super happy to be here and cheer you on. And yeah, Yoga Bar sold to ITC. That's my story.
Welcome back, Swasti. Welcome
back. Thanks,
Shantanu. So thanks, Shantanu. Thank you for having us over. But I think there's a lot of commonality, right, between what you sell and what Shivam does, right? I think happiness, right? I mean, both products bring a smile to your face, one in the morning, maybe one later in the evening, right? But I mean, it's all about happiness, and it's all about spreading the cheer around there. My name is Pradeep. I think people call me Pradeep Biagidwani. You know, I have some blood still left in my alcohol stream. So I've sort of been a startup guy in what I call the adult beverage business. So this is a term that I coined for myself. So I know nothing about milk or soft drinks or juices or protein bars, but I do understand something about liquids. And that's been something I've been very, very fortunate to work with some really good companies, being part of startups with what is now Diageo, so Johnnie Walker, Black Dog, Black and White. Did a bit of wines with Dom Perignon, Moët Chandon, Hennessy Cognac, Red Bull. You know, that was great fun. I mean, you know, people said, you know, what is this product at $120 you're bringing into India? Foster's, start to finish. I mean, Australian for beer. You know, and you know, creating a completely new segment, taking on a market leader, and being a very small, you know, company, literally self-funded. Then Carlsberg was fun, and then I said enough of working for these big MNC companies. I said, let me go out. I was only 45, and I said, let me go out and do something of my own. And I set up the Beer Cafe. That was great fun. Again, you know, I mean, you know, getting in so many brands into India, you know, introducing people to different styles of beers. And then I sold Beer Cafe to my partner, Rahul, and set up the Pint Room. And now I'm having lots of fun. So I work with Shivam, helping him a bit, you know, trying to use some of my gray hair, but having lots of fun all along the way.
Now, the kind of brands that you've worked with, Pradeep, and that middle name is very well earned. But truly enjoy the products you've built and the experiences you've built in retail as well. I think just distinctive experiences, and such a privilege to have you here with us.
Thank you so much.
With you, we should have an episode with you just in general about alcohol. I think Shivam should host that with me.
Yes. I would love that.
It's such a fun category, right? I mean, I've sort of, you know, every time I land up going to a party, right? I land up going to a party and everybody's talking. Somebody says I work, and I'm going to take names away. Somebody says I work for this fantastic multinational company selling toothpaste, right? And the conversation ends, right? Nobody wants to talk about, you know, white toothpaste or green toothpaste or blue toothpaste or what it does to your teeth. Yeah? But the minute you say I'm working for a drinks brand, everybody has a point of view, right? And they say, you know, I love this or I don't love it, or I was in Scotland or I love this beer or I went to this bar and in Barcelona or wherever. I mean, it's just a conversation opener, yeah. That's fantastic.
Must say, our investor at Colgate will have a different point of view. But,
I didn't take any names at all.
You guys talk about like protein bars and alcohol, and I'm like, shaving cream doesn't really fit here in terms of fun, but I totally hear you. But Shivam, how's it been, man? You know, how's it been ever since you came? I think people loved how, personally, I think Rahul and I were blown away by how you understood the alcohol market, broke it open, made us understand why you're launching something in affordable whiskey where the consumer is a particular type, wants to feel loved and pampered by his drink in the evening after a tiring day. And you really made that insight come to life. But on the business, how have you grown? You've obviously launched something new which we'll all taste, but all yours, man. The floor is yours.
Firstly, thank you for inviting me back again. And thank you, Suhasini. And I have to tell you first about him. I think I met him at the Pint Room.
Yeah.
Over
a couple of beers.
Over a couple of beers.
And Black Bow Whiskey.
And Black Bow Whiskey. And every time he beats me hands down when we are drinking. So he's had more number of beers, or probably twice as my number. But I think the essence to go meet him is because he's brutally honest. And his insights are for execution and not just theory. So because we're a startup with limited resources and every penny needs, you know, accounting for, so we cannot do everything. And just a couple of days back, we were discussing the GTM strategy for Singwing on-premise. Now there are on-premise are bars and restaurants. So up until now, we've had a very limited, inroads into that. The reason is simple. We want people's attention where we go. So we prefer doing events and pop-ups more,
yeah,
because that's where you do get people's
like
attention and you're not competing with other whiskies, right? So we spend our money, in such sort of events. But now I think this 2024, we want to enter into, you know, more bars and restaurants. So we were discussing it with Sir and the
commissar, yeah.
This is coming out of jail.
I think more
respect
for the amount of beer you drink, not for anything else.
You know, so just like an insight, that don't go after the A-class outlets right in the beginning. That's counterintuitive.
Correct. Why was that?
So, you know, you will have all your Diageos and Pernos and Beams and everyone fighting for the
A-class
outlet in the beginning, right? So rather not start your journey there, identify people who are not taken care of by bigger companies. Right, so service them well, do your little mistakes, you know, while you're entering that space. And what is the, he's termed it as a profit story. So it's a profit story for a owner or owner of the restaurant, and there's a profit story for the waiting staff or the people that serve you. So have a clear-cut story as to what you want to say to both people, because both are important. One is important for entry, and the other is important for consumption.
Sustenance, correct.
Yes,
correct.
And one anecdote was they I think with beer, they used to keep the beer bottle, you know, maybe incentivize the person not to pick up the bottle after it's being consumed, so that other people that walk in see that bottle on the table. So these minor, small nuances, right, help you construct your story when you're going inside a bar, as against, you know, going without such learnings.
Wasn't that a Red Bull strategy, Pradeep, where like there were empty cans of Red Bull placed by the brand outside a bar after it was closed?
Yeah.
So people thought that a lot of Red Bull was consumed in the bar or in the nightclub.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, jo dikhta hai, wo bikta hai, right? And we started this with Foster's. And I remember, you know, Foster's, so we sort of, you know, do what we call the barstorming in those days, yeah, right? So I used to take the team and we used to go and hit a bar and all of us would hold the Foster's bottle and we'd pretty much stand at the entrance, right? So the 10, 15 guys in different places, but, you know, not connected to each other, but connected to each other, right?
Wow.
And all of us literally holding our bottles like that with the logo facing out, right? So we did that, yeah. So just like that, hit that bar, get the bar rocking with Foster's, move to the next bar. We had no money, right? So Foster's was bootstrapped. Yeah, Foster's was a bootstrapped, abandoned multinational baby in India, right? So we didn't have a multinational parent whom we could go to and say, "Yar, papa, mere ko paise de do." Right? So we had to do all this. So it was all these small things, and Red Bull did this really well. And I learned this again. Dietrich Mateschitz, the founder of Red Bull, who passed away, unfortunately, he came up with this fantastic concept. He said, you know, do a lot of small fires, right? Yeah. So, you know, all the big companies think of a big fire. I want to do this big event like a sunburn, and nothing wrong in that. But, you know, so I want to do this big event and, you know, spend. But his whole philosophy was do a lot of these small events, creates, and the word used was small fires, lots of small fires. And this multiple small fires eventually becomes a big fire.
Yeah.
Do you all pick like really popular bars like in each city, or do you all, like, I'm guessing you all will sample size it, like you all won't. And I'm just trying to understand this because I'm also thinking it could be a great idea for people to be doing that even in stores when consuming food and for people to be walking and seeing it. It's just from a learning perspective.
Shivamani was just talking to answer that question. We're just talking that, I mean, you know, the minute you land up going to A-class bars, unlike in A-class, food. Okay. If you go to the A-premium ones, because our industry is so restricted, right? The numbers are small.
Yeah.
So the A-class guys are typically very pampered. They're spoiled by different brands here. And every brand goes in over there and is offering and say, you know, put my signage up, do this, do that, do this. And so the strategy that we were thinking is that, you know, because our space is restricted, unlike food where you have a much wider universe to go to. Yeah. So in our space, let's say, you know, in Delhi, if I have about 800 odd bars and restaurants or on-premise, as we call them, hotels, bars and restaurants, right? So if I'm going to the A, they're all spoiled and pampered. So the B's and C's who are not spoiled, probably that may be an interesting approach for us, where you spend lesser money, it's easier to break through. Yeah, that's really what. So I think that's. So you
that
must talk about your plan.
Might not be sexy advice, but I think that works better on ground. I think when we started distributing in Delhi, right, we were at say 100 stores say a year back, and we're at 500 plus stores now.
Wow,
and
well done.
Yeah,
well done.
So we're at 90% of say Delhi's, retail reach, and I think we'll close out the remaining in the next few months. By the time probably this is aired, before launching, we, for all 500 or at least most of them, we go and give our whiskey for them to first taste it. That is my influencer, my promoter, my everything. Because he doesn't say the right set of words while he's talking to the consumer is going to buy into his words more. Of course, the packaging looks great, so that helps him promote it. And if you're telling him, say this, and if it also mentioned on the packaging, then it just solidifies it. If it's not mentioned on the packaging, they say ki ye jhoot bol rahe hain, this is not somewhat true, and they're asking me to say something which is not there or validated. So it always helps to, you know, say your positioning and your proposition and whatever keywords that you want to tell the consumer right up front. And if you're giving them that respect that before launch, so the Woodsman Mountain Whiskey, which is being launched this month in Delhi, we have been doing that exercise for 6 months now. So we have given them respect first. You tell us how you like it. Please taste it in your own sweet time. You're not forcing them to, you know, drink it right now. Mm. So you please taste it in your own sweet time.
Give us feedback.
And this is white labeled. So it's not well branded, right? It's white labeled. And sometimes we mix it with our competition as well, just to, you know, play around. You know, and we've done that both with technical people who understand technical blend making, as well as with, you know, these shop owners and consumers, because I think once it's branded, the brand plays to your mind. I recently, so I met the founder of Amrut recently, not the founder, actually the third generation, promoters. Yes. So Rakshit is the third generation there.
Did you say Amrut?
Amrut
single malt
whiskey.
Amrut single malt. From your backyard.
Yeah, Bangalore. Yeah.
From Bangalore.
I love that.
Yeah.
What a world.
So I presented him the whiskey and I was asking about his origins. So these guys started in 2000 and they didn't get a red carpet welcome, because now you're saying India makes single malt.
Yeah.
Right? So for the Scotch, that's now, you know, you're coming into their own lion's den over there. So the thing that helped them also over there was blind tastings. Because when you don't, you're not garbed with, you know, the brand name, that is when the true liquid test can come about.
Correct.
Right? So I think that strategy helps when you're initially trying to tell the quality of the liquid. That answers the liquid, I think part very well. But of course, your story has to play out and you have to be easily rememberable and recommendable to other people.
I think also India plays a lot on personal stories. Yeah. Like I remember, I don't know if it's with you, like, but I know because yours comes from the Himalayas and all of that, right? Yes. Like when we initially went about saying everywhere there are only MNCs, but we are the only Indian company and we played the whole India story.
Yeah.
Everyone, if you're given a chance, all things are being equal, you'll always support, in India, you'll always support the Indian brand.
Yeah.
And that really helped. Like, I don't know if, I don't know your landscape, but I'm saying.
Well, in general, I think if you see consumption, especially post-COVID, where there was a natural step change towards going local, world over, India included, yeah. This whole, we are an Indian brand. And in alcohol, for example, in whiskeys,
yeah.
Amrut, Paul John, I think Rampur,
yeah,
some of this has just, even gins, by the way, this whole Jaisalmer Jodhpur thing is amazing.
Yeah.
No, but Indian single malts have beaten scotches in 2023. So the Indian single malt sold 3,45,000 cases, and the scotches single malts sold, I think 290 or 280.
Sorry, say that again.
So the Indian single malts,
which is what?
Amrut, Paul John, Gyanchand, Rampur.
Gyanchand, which brand?
Jammu, like okay. very like a smaller
one. The Godfather people.
Yeah, okay. So for in 2023, the Indian single malts have sold more number of cases.
3,45,000
In India.
Over?
Yes, in India.
In India. Over who?
over the imported.
Over the Glens.
Over the Glens.
Yeah. Over the imported.
Can you imagine this?
This is the first time ever.
Can you imagine this?
What are you saying?
Yeah, yeah.
This was a big article in the newspaper. This is we're talking about in India.
This is still crazy.
Yeah, but I'm saying the strong sentiment to promote Indian brands, implicit. Implicit influence even on a consumer's choices. We've seen that. I mean, I'm not as surprised as you are. Yeah. I'm not an alcohol.
No, but this is like saying that. I'm just trying to think.
So there are 200-year-old companies, right, selling whiskies. And like I said, Amrut was the first single malt that launched in 2004. That's 20-year journey. In 20 years, even
they've
if you've beaten them
beaten,
in India, but India is also the largest consumer of whiskey in the world.
Yeah.
So that also accounts for something, right?
Wow.
And to do that in 20 years, I paid my respect to the
What's the price
family.
Difference between these two categories? But like weighted average single malt Indian price per liter versus a...
Not necessarily less, sometimes higher.
But it's same price basically.
So even if I do a single malt, I will not price it at Glen 12, I will price it higher. Why would I price it lower?
Because import duties, no? For a...
No, it's for them. It's for them.
Yeah, I'm saying a consumer... But I'm saying a consumer is buying it. So then, I mean, he doesn't really know the breakup of the duty.
Yeah.
So then it's really where you want to position it. But I think that brings us to a very fundamental point, which I think all of you have been talking about. I think this the amount of confidence that we as Indians are having in our own country and in our own products. And I look at, you talked about gins earlier. You've done it in the food space. I look at gins. I mean, we've got some fantastic products that can, we've got the juniper berries. We've got some nice Krabi Analong ginger coming in from Meghalaya, and so we've got fantastic local ingredients which
have raw material.
Yeah, as raw materials, yeah. And I think the confidence, I think what we're seeing now is that we are confident about ourselves, right? In the earlier days, we were trying to be in the spirits business, we were trying to be Scotch-like.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Indians understand Indian taste, but do they understand Indian taste palette better and therefore are able to deliver a better product for the Indian consumer? Like, I'm guessing...
You should know that. I mean, you've done that well.
For food. But I mean, alcohol, I'm guessing... I don't know if it's much more of a science than...
No, so all of these, including myself, all of these promoters are Indian people, right?
Got it.
Right? And they're deeply entrenched into what India is. Yeah. Now, when I'm going to the market, right, I'm actually covering, say, for example, from making the whiskey... To bottling it, to distribution, to talking to consumers. So we're doing the entire ambit, and similarly the other promoters are.
Yeah.
Whereas in a multinational company, these are compartmentalized into different, silos.
Yeah.
So what helps us is you're talking to consumers and we are, you put your ego aside and just learn and listen to what the person is saying. And if you just do that, it's simple. You just have to listen. And if you do that well, you will improve. So no one is saying, you know, it's the best. It'll continuously improve.
Yeah.
Right? But by no means in terms of standards, right? It is anything less.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? It's just that we, for example, Woodsman Mountain Whiskey, which we're launching, has a oaky, matured oak, vintage oak flavor, but has certain elements of spice in it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now we've purposely done that because Indians do like their, you know, spices. So it's not heavily, it's slightly spiced to, you know, have that, like how Thumbs Up was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Great taste. So the idea is to introduce that uniqueness into the whiskey, which, unlike, you know, the scotches or the other whiskies, is unique to us.
I think I've met Saurabh, who is the promoter of Lahori Jeera. Same insight. He said, Indians love Indian flavors. Like, why was Sprite the number one cold drink in India for so long? It's because we are a Shikanji and Nimbu Pani country. So Sprite became a carbonated version of that. Similarly, Jeera is considered a digestive drink, carbonated, give it at a good price, it sells. And then now there is something around Rose, he's doing something around Kokam, like
more Indianized
version. More,
I like
paper
the
boat
point that Shivam's also making, that Indians have the humility to just listen. Like, you're listening to a consumer. Like, I feel like with MNCs a little bit, like, they're not going to come down and be like, yeah, if it's good for the world, it's good for India. It's going to be their approach.
Yeah.
But an Indian's going to be like, what is the best drink that I can give people, given we understand this market, we understand the taste? I think it's that growth mentality, right? Like, how can I make this better? Like,
also, conditioning of the Indian taste. I was discussing this with a friend. So the Indian taste palette, like this scientifically, has evolved over thousands of years. The Western taste palette is only 800 years old, because access to global spices is only that old, given when the Western world started cooking outside of like Central Europe. It's 800 years old. So that conditioning has led to a very tight preference of taste in India, which I think if we get right, then you're home. And also, like, we had discussed, Japanese whiskies are much lighter because they're rice based, I think.
No, so not rice based. India does make you know, the grain whiskies from rice and wheat, because that's what grows on our land. And I think this is also somewhat, say, bourbon is made from 51% corn.
Correct.
But they didn't call it corn whiskey.
Correct.
They call it bourbon. Right. So they garb it very well, and that we are also now getting good at.
But talk about Himalayan, and I would love to taste it, but we should actually get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so, talk about it.
So I think Himalayan water is 60% of the whiskey, right? Now, if you look at any, and you can learn from these global players, right? If you the water source or plays a very, very, very important inherent role in it. And if you look at, say, 95% of the whiskies that come into Delhi. So there's a town called Dera Bassi before Chandigarh. That's where 95% of the whiskies are made, right? So we purposely...
One town, is it?
One town, yeah. So we purposely chose like a not so cost effective route and went up. And because I think if you truly believe in it, then you have to take a harder call. It might not be the best economic decision, but what's more important for us right now is to have a clear story.
Yeah.
And we have to be honest and authentic with it. So Himalayan water, Himalayan malts, right? And these are aged in Himachal. The character that comes about is unlike anything else in the world, because there's only, you know, one or two distilleries. So it cannot be compared to what's being aged in Scotland or Bangalore or wherever else, right? It's unique. Now, it's our job to make sure that we identify the taste properly and tell it to the consumers in a simple manner. We shouldn't complicate too many words, right? So the idea is to simplify and not say too many things, even if you know it, because the consumer just wants to understand easily. So if someone wants to recommend my whiskey, it's Himalayan. It's very, very easy. Whereas if you want to describe taste, there'll be a lot of sweet whiskies, a lot be smoky whiskies, peaty whiskies, not tens of them, but not one Himalayan. So now what we've done is separated ourselves from the entire pack and said, we are going to make it here, right? And we're going to make it right. And that's our story.
Himalaya, even with water, Tata has done such a beautiful marketing job. Like, just, I don't know if you've ever read the poem behind their water bottle, like the way they've talked about the Himalayas and the source.
Yeah.
And every time I go to a coffee shop and I order, like, and I it creates, I mean, it's a stronger memory to recollect the whole story of the Himalayas.
So it's something, also there is something very religious about
Himalayas. Very religious about the Himalayas, very religious.
So I think, firstly, I'll show off the bottle a bit. It's got a mountain at the...
Yeah. It's amazing how such small things are so make the product so distinctive.
Right. So we've got a mountain at the base of the bottle. Thanks to Gujarat, thanks to Piramal. we've been able to do this over a 6-month period. Because if the glass has to be consistent and, you know... again, even this small thing delayed maybe a few months. But the point is now...
Distinctive.
Yes. When the bottle is finishing up, when you're finishing the bottle and you'll... Of course, notice it, right? Now there's a mountain. Now this recall value, this is marketing money spent.
Yeah.
Right, in a way.
For sure.
And because we don't have shitloads of money, this is what we have to, you know, do to ensure, the product sticks in the person's head. So we embossed like a big mountain whiskey at the back of the bottle, right?
Wow.
We've used an aluminium cap. So we've removed plastic. And gone ahead with an aluminium cap. I won't say much right now, there's miles to go, but we've started to learn from this company called Sage Sustainability out of Bangalore. So we've asked them to help us understand our impact, and the intention is clear that we want to do it the right way. And we're learning, so we're just learning from those people. And the idea is to make it in the event like a carbon positive whiskey, right? Forget carbon negative. Like, why not think in that direction? But coming back to
I think hold your thought. I think on packaging, what a lot of consumer businesses kind of what I took a long time to understand personally.
Was
how important functional packaging is.
Yeah.
So, which leaves a mark on the consumer that the brand cares about. For example, I was talking to the brand manager in Ketchup.
Right.
And the market expanded over a period of 3 to 4 years, almost 2 times when the glass bottles went into Pichku. You remember Pichku?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because Indian consumers don't like wasting.
Yeah.
And the glass bottle, you always end up wasting a little bit because it's a thick product.
You can't take it out.
It's a very Western concept of having a glass bottle.
Yeah.
And we tried to do plastic, but the product was not stable in plastic. So you needed something which could be Tetra Pak-y in a way. But you also didn't want it to get wasted. So Pichku was involved. And then Pichku paid Ketchup, something that people ended up having with everything. The moment we made the product accessible, number of Pichkus bought per month went up. The category expanded, number of customers expanded, and it was amazing. So things like this are just incredible. It's just incredible.
And I think again, even with the the overall outlay, we've just been very, very clean and simple. We've not really said too many things purposefully. And this is mostly like an artistic expression of a mountain range. Yeah, yeah. This mountain is from Kinnaur.
Okay.
So
is that close to where you manufacture this?
It's more up.
More up.
More up. Yeah. The intention is to be as authentic as possible, and this clearly would say mountains and Himalayas.
Mm. But it's actually fantastic, and to be creating a completely new category, right? So Himalayan whiskey, right? It doesn't exist, right? I mean, you've got Japanese whiskeys, right? You've got Irish
Suntory whiskey, and all that, right?
You've got Scotch whiskeys, right? So imagine now you're sort of, working on creating a completely new category, which is Himalayan, yeah? Right? I mean, this is a great opportunity, right? So you start if a brand can own a category, like Red Bull owned a category, right? So if you can own a category, I think that's a really good start. Yeah, I think that's fantastic what's happening here. Yeah,
it's already mixed, is it?
Yeah, it's water only.
Okay, cheers.
Water.
Thank you.
Swati, you don't drink. Oh no, you're going to miss out on this.
We've got Himalayan water inside that.
Pure water?
No, I don't, I'm not sure. Is that whiskey or pure water?
No, this is water.
It's just water.
It's just water.
You sure?
Yeah, yeah.
Cheers. Okay, cheers.
Thank you.
Cheers, Swati, cheers. I don't know if I could read you though.
Yeah.
Where there's a will, there's a Himalayan whiskey.
That smells very good.
Oh, I'm smelling the water.
Oh, this is damn good, dude.
Yeah?
This is damn good. By the way, it is a lot milder than the color suggests.
It's a lot milder, yes. So now this is also like, you know, just trying to again understand from consumer psyche. Right? If I...
Yeah. I thought this is a damn strong drink, by the way.
Yeah? Interesting. So I'll tell you the color behind the deeper golden. Even single malts, you know, you add slight amount of caramel, you know, to
Macallan especially, yeah.
A lot of all the whiskies, you know, you'll find even single malts do that. If we give the consumer as is, they will think it's too light. Right. So am I right here?
Yeah.
So the lighter the color, the lighter the people feel the whiskey is.
Lesser the alcohol content.
Probably. Yeah. Probably. Okay. And some would even reject it outright, saying this is not whiskey. You know? Especially Haryana, where we are sitting. So these guys who say this is too light of whiskey.
Huh.
And we wanted like a richer, bolder, you know, flavorful sort of a whiskey. And which it is. And hence,
so you keep a parameter chart, huh? Color, smell.
Yeah. And you need to be consistent with the color. So we wanted the takeaway to be a more full-bodied, because if you'll compare like Indian whiskies with Scotch whiskies, we'll be more full-bodied than in comparison to a Scotch whiskey.
This is really good.
Yeah.
This is really good. And I'm sorry, you were talking about the pricing. We didn't complete that thought.
So I get a lot of flack that I underprice my whiskies, but
you're looking very cutely to your 3 o'clock. But we should get Pradeep in on this. But go ahead.
See, I just price the whiskies I want to just give great value, right, to the consumer. They're to just love it.
Actually, just before we were sitting outside. And he brought the whiskey bottle out. And he bought the can. And I'm looking at him, I'm like, and then I turned over and saw the price. I'm like, ye toh packaging bhi nahi. Gross margin kya hai iska? You know, like it's not even the packaging cost. You know, it's not even, it doesn't seem to be even the packaging.
The average response we get is like 5,000, 6,000, right? And theek hai, de do. See, so it's, I don't know which way to put it, but say for example, what Reliance it, right? Like, this like great pricing, right? Consumer is the king, right? It's not me, I'm not the consumer, right? So I have to understand where am I playing, what are my strengths, you know, where would the market accept us, distribution. It's not just what I want to do. It's also about what the data is, what the market size is. I don't want to go after small markets in the beginning. Some people tell me, why don't you make a gin? Why don't you make a tequila? Why don't you make this? I'm like, let me just focus on whiskey, because that's more than enough. It's, I think even if I, work for 50 years, even after that, there'll be scope of improvement and scope of market. So why, divert your mind and attention to anything else?
Yeah, people like, width is easy, depth is hard. So people always say the easy growth is width, but amazing to see, but what's the price?
So I think what we should allow the watchers to guess the price. Let's not reveal it today.
you don't want to reveal it today?
I'll of course. So this is price tag.
Well, let me guess, Fatehola. You're right. So but I know what Woodsman, the other one, the what do you call it? The classic.
Yeah, the Woodsman extra classic, smooth whiskey.
Extra smooth, like I know the price. So I know that this will probably be a premium to that, but won't be an extravagant premium. If you were to ask me uninitiated, I would say this will probably be in the 3,000 to 4,000 range. But I know that you probably have priced it in like 9.99 or 11.99 or something ridiculous like that. No,
I have. So this is 9.90 in Delhi. Okay. This will translate to say a 2,300 or 2,400 for Bangalore. So Bangalore pays up more for the same whiskey, a lot more.
That's crazy.
Because the tax is different.
The taxation. Is different.
So the Karnataka government taxes alcohol much higher.
And Bombay would be maybe an 1,800. So when we're pricing also... Now
and Delhi doesn't tax alcohol?
No, there is a lot of tax.
Okay.
But so when we're pricing, right, I have to be mindful not only of the state I'm selling in, But say in 2 years' time or 3 years' time or a year's time, if I enter into some other state, no, I can't change the structure of the pricing, the ex-distillery price. So I have to also see what would it be priced at in Bangalore, in Bombay, at least in the major cities, right? So,
but those laws change how often? Every time the election, central election happens, or every
year
election, or?
So every year you have an excise budget and an excise tax change.
So every year with the budget.
Yeah. So here's the thing: how much do you realize for this bottle at your at a company level?
So ballpark, all whiskies, right, will be around 40%. Revenue to the company and 60% revenue to the exchequer.
So 990 bucks will
all,
be
all,
only
all,
400.
Yeah, exactly. It's only 550 bucks realized
in his books
for 2300 bucks in Bangalore. Think about it. It's crazy. The tax structure, and which is fair because I think taxes are also a function of
what does society
regulating consumers should drink less.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
In a way,
of course.
The consumer should drink quality, right? The intention should be to drink. Maybe lower, yes, and quality whiskies, I think that maybe the view of say the excise is to not promote it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I when you sit where the government sits, there are certain sin industries, and you will regulate it to kind of sure.
But you know, so see, it's a part of our. I'm not promoting anything, it's a part of our social life, right? I know you don't drink, but it does, you know, open conversations.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you drink responsibly, right, you need to, so when this bottle opens up, how much is poured inside the glass is up to me. The maker is not saying put the entire bottle into the glass. Please behave yourself, right? So you should pour, as per your own capacities, I feel.
And this is something, again, and, you know, I've been, you know, talking about this with various state governments, right? Again, if I look at India, you look at Goa, right? A state where, you know, you've sort of grown up, you know, because of Portuguese culture, etc. So you've grown up seeing your parents drink, right?
Yeah.
So alcohol is no big deal.
Yeah.
So you have least alcohol-related issues over there, rather than saying, go and hide and drink, right?
Yes, yes.
If I go and hide and drink, then I'm knocking it down, right?
Yeah.
I want to get drunk, but, you know, I mean, and this is something I was constantly highlighting. I think that's really what we really need to be going out and saying, you know, it's no big deal, but drink in moderation. I think you will go through the high once or twice. You'll go through all of that. All of us will go through it, do that experimentation. After that, then you're going to, you know, sober down.
You'll mellow.
Yeah, regulation is important. Over-regulation is a killer. I completely agree with you. Completely.
And is India the most regulated country?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He will know better.
Because each state has its own.
Yeah, and so complex. I mean, you know, look at where the problems are. You got a problem at the country liquor level, right? India is probably the only country in the world which has got this whole segment of strong beer. Country liquor, why are we forcing people to drink that horrible, you know, methanol, right? Why can't we drop our taxes so people are drinking better quality, right? That's really where the issue is. Yeah.
I completely agree.
But I think
so tell me this, when you have to set up a company in the long term and you can't really predict which way the regulation is going to go in each of these states, how will you have a view?
So it's not like it changes every year.
You find an advisor like Pradeep.
That's a really good, let Shivam answer that.
I think the states that you open up and the sequence of those states is really important in Alcobev. When I'm entering a state, right, where is a faster capital rotation happening, right, or working capital rotating faster, even though I might want to open a Bombay, but Bombay is an expensive city, right, so I will pick a Bangalore over a Bombay in the beginning, right, so we have to put our own, excitement aside and understand which is right for the business. That's where, you know.
And what influences which state is better for business?
So I think
how the distribution system is set up?
How the distribution system.
So you also got to see. So you look at margins, right? So that's number one. Then you look at ease of entry, which is the distribution system, right? And the point that he was referring to in terms of how is your money secure or not, right? So for example, if you're selling in Delhi, you're selling in Karnataka, you're selling it through a government channel,
right?
So when you're selling it through the government channel, your money is controlled there.
Well, safe.
It's safe.
So when you sell it through a government channel, do you collect cash upfront?
No. It's
no
it's,
LC, no guarantee, no nothing.
No, there's
but the money will always come.
The government always takes money first, right?
Yeah.
That's the basic rule.
It's tedious.
Which is, okay.
It's kind of
which is fine, but I'm saying like you don't have write-offs or debtors.
No, you can have write-offs.
Okay.
Even in government-controlled markets, so if you supply excessive stock, right, and that's again your, I mean, assuming you don't plant it and you supply excessive stock and you dump it into the market, the government doesn't take any responsibility for that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you can't dump.
So after a certain period of time, they say, sorry, buddy, your products haven't sold, so you're going to destroy it.
Yeah.
So then you're writing it off here. So therefore, it's up to you to manage that. And that's why it's important in this category, people who can succeed are people who know the market, because it's a minefield, right? You got to navigate through the mines everywhere.
Yeah.
And you got to say, how can I navigate those mines?
So you would also say that people who are ahead in the game have significant barriers to entry for other people, because
absolutely,
yeah,
knowing the market,
yes,
creates...
The only thing is, you will not have insolvency issues with the government.
Yeah, yeah.
But you will have things like overstocking and stuff like that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is a situation where, you know, it's a fragmented state-by-state market. Now, this is the opportunity as well. Lesser people will go after it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's more defensible. So I was, Rakesh Kapoor had, the ex-CEO of Reckitt, had reached out. And when I was speaking to him about the whiskey after the podcast, he said, because it is fragmented, it's defensible. And it can be built at a lower cost in comparison to FMCG, right? So, you know, there's some part which is tougher and some part which is, if you want to take the
actually, there's one more difficulty. It is far more fun to do branding and marketing for FMCG companies than it is to, because even that is regulated. Like, other than Bacardi that created this whole...
No, I would disagree.
How many great campaigns of marketing would you have come across
plenty.
For a...
Yeah. Harvey Bacardi, plenty. Like,
yeah.
So cool.
Yeah, I mean, actually,
yeah,
you know,
so.
Foster's Australian for beer, I think people still remember that, you know, after many years.
So I'll tell you, at any party, right? At any party... Yeah, sorry.
You go ahead.
So at you can go to any conference, right? There will be a host of speakers, right? The moment the bar opens, the seats will be empty.
Yeah.
Right? So it generates conversations, right? And there are plenty good, campaigns. I think Johnny Walker Keep Walking is a brilliant positioning in a campaign, which is working wonders for them.
So, Pradeep, you were saying?
No, I was just saying, just to answer your question, it is it's significantly tougher on the face of it, because I can't communicate, right?
You can't use the product.
Yeah,
and
so
say.
I can't communicate openly, etc. But if I look at it, you know, from the perspective of a brand, right? Where does the battle take place? The battle takes place here, right? So if I look at before I walk in into a bar, my mind's already made up that this is my repertoire, right? So how does that happen? That's word of mouth, right? Word of mouth, I come to your house, right? I come to your house, I drink it, I see you drinking this, and I say, hey, that's pretty cool, I really like it. So you'll end up becoming an influencer for me. Now, if I understand these nuances, then I can really get into those segments by, you know, going down that route. It's tougher, it is targeted, it is clearly targeted, it is invisible marketing, but clearly possible. And brands have been built. I mean, I look at Foster's, I look at Tuborg, I look at Black and White, right? I mean, Tuborg does not exist anywhere in the world outside of Scandinavia. India is the second largest market in the world for them. It's the number two brand after Kingfisher, right? I mean, the brand, who knew Tuborg some 25 years ago in India, 20 years ago, right? So it is possible to build brands.
Do you like to play a game with constraints in it?
Yeah.
It's more fun.
Yeah.
Like for me, I remember that Hayward's 5000, that dartboard ad. Is it 1996 or 7 when it came out? That ad was crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the product is so engaging.
Yeah. Actually, for me, of course, the only ad that I really remember is Bacardi. And I was telling him also, like, when you're... Bacardi used to have this big poster that used to say, life is calling, where are you? And it used to remind everybody, I mean, it used to be a reality check for every, it's a very powerful statement to make, right? Like, makes people really think. I was thinking about the complexity of not being able to say, I made this with Himalayan water and therefore this product is better. And I always, you can't say that.
Complexity.
Can't say that.
So that's what the challenge is.
Yeah. Complexity, without doubt, is the highest.
Yeah.
But that's, as Shantanu said, is the fun, right? Consumers to really look at why are people, I mean, look at how loyal people are, right, to their brands and alcohol, right? They will not shift. I will shift if I'm a shampoo. No, okay, so this shampoo is not there. But I mean, you know, whiskey, so I want a specific whiskey or I want a specific beer.
I mean, you know, and that is, you know, that is something which is fantastic in this category. The stickiness is incredible, right? People have, this is my whiskey. I know it before I walk into a bar. I'm going to ask for this. The barman knows, ye saab aayega, ye wali whiskey peega.
Wow.
Right? And that is incredible. And this is despite all the complexity.
We sold 15 lakh bottles last year. With very low levels of marketing. So, you know,
15 like 15 lakhs, did you say?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
1.5 million. So the point is, like he's saying, there's a lot of interest in the category itself, right? And conversations are had over this. So you can figure, you know, a way out, and you can take help, and you can be, you have to be smart about it, of course. But I think the...
But influencers need to... I'm just curious. I'm just going to keep asking questions. Yeah. I'm just trying to understand...
Yeah.
Do you all use influence? I mean, is it important to use like a celebrity and...
Yes and no. I'm saying, but you know, who is your influencer, right? I mean, your influencer could be your husband, for example. Right? He could be a husband, right? Could be...
Try, no.
Try Michelle Obama.
Okay. So you might have Michelle Obama. Somebody might have, okay, you know, if I'm a, you know, a bunch of young guys going out with my boss might be an influencer, right? So my boss might say, if I'm drinking, you know, ABC whiskey.
Who they're most influenced by is your spouse.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily that I have to have a brand ambassador, right? If that's what I was trying to get to. You don't necessarily need to have a brand ambassador or something. That person could be anybody, right?
Got it.
And that is why, in the beginning, I said easy to recommend. So when you say Himalayan, it just becomes easy to recommend it to someone else.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah?
That
because if I say sweet or smoky, he'll say, okay, fine, but you wouldn't have, you know, you can say it for many other whiskeys. Yeah. But now when you want to recommend it to someone...
You'll just say Himalayan.
Yes. So that becomes easy for word of mouth.
Amazing. Pradeep, but you seem like at least Shivam was insinuating that you seem to be in disagreement on the lower pricing. Would you have priced it higher?
No, I mean, there's no, absolutely no disagreement. If I look at in the category and we were doing this analysis, in the category that, or in the segment that this whiskey is really come in, we are at the top of the ladder.
Yeah.
Right? So, I think the two key points, I think one is looking at where the market is. And I think that's a great job that Shivam has done, is really identifying and say, okay, if I go over here, as we said, in the category or in a segment which is too small, then that itself is too niche. So you're in a segment which is you know, premium just below the Scotch whiskies, just below the Scotch whiskey segment. But there's a big gap. This at 990, and all the Scotch whiskies in Delhi, for example, start from 1500 going up to God knows $5,000 there, and that's really a huge big gap, right? And so therefore the segment suddenly compared to Scotch whiskey is that big compared to, you know, that much. So first you're operating in that segment, then within that segment you're saying, okay, you know, you have premiumized and you sort of position yourself at the top end of that segment here. So again, that is adding to, you know, the imagery, quality, premiumness. So I think that's pretty smart to do.
By the way, on a side note, when you have an advisor who calls your business V, hold like very tight. It is truly distinctive, by the way. Like it's amazing to hear you talk about it with such ownership. Sorry, go ahead.
So like you said, we priced like 15 to 20% higher than the competition. And we're at the right at the top end of the ladder. So better margins than
you can't do more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're entering a market. I remember a few days back I met the Grow CEO. And he was telling me, he's like, customer ko hamesha maza aana chahiye. If the customer's having fun, you know that the product is working.
Yeah.
And that whether it's a financial product, whether it's whiskey, whether it's food, whether it's personal care.
He should feel that, you know, he's gotten more money for
and
his
And he's recommending
buck.
To other people.
Yeah. Yeah. And he'll only do that if he genuinely feels that.
Yeah.
So you're saying it's value, but you are also premium. So in a way, compared to a subcategory, this thing you're saying, it is aspirational because you've clearly gone for aspiration with the way you're packaged, the way you're communicated also.
So I'm showcasing my imagery is super premium. So let's say I could easily put this among Scotch whiskey bottles. Right, I could easily put it, right? So, I mean, if you were to place all Scotch whiskey bottles together, this would easily sit and people would think it's a Scotch
part
whiskey,
of the
right?
Correct.
If you were to put it in a bar.
Correct.
But when you then look at the price, then that's really where the value equation comes in, right? So you say, wow, you know, and then of course the liquid has to deliver, right? So that's really the equation, yeah.
If you had a nitpick, what would you say? Like if you had to find one fault with what?
One fault.
We used to get a lot of that, huh? By the way, everybody had an opinion on what, taking one bite of the bar. They would be like, no, ye karo, wo karo, cardamom karo, orange karo, strawberry karo.
Easy to have point of view.
Yeah, easy.
So I think...
you can't answer that question.
No,
I'm just giving my perspective, then we'll hear him out. I think you have to have a critical mass, right? You have to have a certain amount of people, large enough people, to be able to give you feedback. One person, you know, say for example, a blender, right? Now, if you want to bottle a whiskey, and you're saying it's called Smokehead. Mm. If you put a smoky whiskey inside it, it'll make sense because the label reads Smokehead, right? So it's also about the story. It's not only about the liquid. Mm. Whereas when a blender is making it technically, he will make a good smoky whiskey or a fruity whiskey. But if I put the fruity whiskey inside the Smokehead, it'll not work. Mm. He's made a great fruity whiskey, but it's inside the wrong bottle.
Yeah.
Packaged inside the wrong bottle. So the entire story has to play out. And you can't judge one, you know, you can, but the idea is to see it as a complete whole and not just taking out one part. And I do, you know, send this out to, you know, blenders and technical people, and some will rate it way higher. Some will say, no, that maybe they're used to certain things.
Yeah.
Right. So their own perspective adds up. But I feel again, consumer is king.
Yeah.
And the numbers will, you know, tell us whether this is working or not.
Yeah. But I like what Shantanu said. He said, you're better to get, love it, hate it, but not everybody median saying it's about
it's okay. Yeah. Indifference, yeah.
Strong opinions, whether negative or positive, are better than somewhere sitting in an
I'll give you an anecdote, what happens in sometimes in Delhi, right? The complaint that people would have sometimes from us is, you know, maybe we've stocked out, out of the shop, and the consumer has come. People have sometimes even abused the person in front of them that you're hiding it. You don't want to sell it. And they've left the shop and gone to some other place. And we've gotten a call from that retailer, ki aap kya kar rahe ho, why aren't you, you know?
Supplying.
So, it takes time. It won't happen. People will not have that passion for your brand. I don't have a Shah Rukh Khan or a Hrithik Roshan next to my brand right now. So, people will have a passion, but it'll take time. You have to give yourself a certain amount of time frame to develop that love from the consumer. It won't happen overnight.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But I think if you deliver the quality that he's expecting from you every single time, that's when I think that he or she will, you know, be loyal and demand the brand from the retail. Now, so you can.
he's thinking, okay, I'm going to nitpick this, but
I mean, I think it's too early to you know, this needs to go out of the market. I mean, I think from a packaging, and I think the story Himalayan, I think is you know, fits, and I think it was a very relevant point that Shivam talked about, is you have to stand for one thing, right? I was, you know, last night in a bar in GK2, and it was, you know, supposedly a beer bar, and the first thing I see is today's cocktail of the day, right? Well, so this your name has got beer on it, and you know, it built in into the brand name, and you have cocktail. But this is, you know, the story is Himalayan. It's consistent. It's from the Himalayas. You got the mountain. You got the bottle. Blue, you know, you got everything. You got blue in color. So you know, I think
the mountain blue.
So the story is simple. Yeah. Yeah. I think now it's really about, you know, getting the story out in the market. Yeah.
So now I think we have to just make sure that we go out and talk to more number of consumers. So what we've done also is we've got a 90 ml miniature.
Oh wow!
Right. So now even if you are loyal to your existing whiskey, we will offer the miniature, and just request one thing, that you please try it before you have your own whiskey. Try it before, right? So that 90 ml.
Will they buy it? You're sampling it? How are you doing?
Yeah, sampling ourselves, and people are buying. So we
sampling is a key tool. Yeah.
We did more than
sampling works. Yeah,
sampling
We did more than 50,000 miniatures just last month.
Yeah. Really? And people are buying. How are you doing this?
So you know, usually the miniature section is smaller, right? And people are on the go sometimes. You know, they're going back home, they'll probably mix it in a cola, or they're going out to a party and they don't want to carry a big bottle with them. Mm. So maybe just one or two miniatures in their pocket or jacket pocket. So all of these places, there are lesser number of, you know, brands selling miniatures, you get tried on more. And of course, you have to, for instance, tell the retailer that, okay, if this person buys this, please recommend this, and this won't, you know, burn a hole in his pocket. And usually people, you know, are not that...
Yeah, actually it's delight, no? Customer delight to get like one free thing.
Yeah.
Shopkeepers are happy to do it because it increases the total.
And once you...
But do you give better margins than leading? Like, I'm just asking.
You can't in Delhi. from a legal perspective, the margins are defined.
Yeah. Are defined for everything.
Fixed, yeah. It's a good thing. No, variable is out the window.
Yeah.
A lot of the variables that you like that our business have to deal
because
with.
Because every, oh, it's not.
The distribution is limited. Stores are very well defined. You can't like sell it anywhere.
But an open market will be different. A Haryana market will be different.
Specifically Delhi.
Yeah. So different markets, private markets would have.
So there you'd have other incentive structures. We were talking about, let's say, on-premise bars and restaurants. So you'd have to, obviously, you know, I mean, incentives and profit margins work. So then for the bar owner, for the bar staff, you'd have incentives, right? You'd have incentive programs. Yeah.
So like a mystery consumer, he's telling me, do a mystery consumer wherein you tell the retailer, the bar owner, that between 7 and 10 p.m., once a week or twice a week, a random person would come in. And if you have convinced the person of my whiskey, right, and if the bottle is also on the table, we'll give a higher incentive, right? So now that's a gamification of the same thing. You're getting
it. So that's introduction, right? So how do I create awareness, right? When I can't create awareness, right? So I can't put up a hoarding. Right? Putting up signage is expensive, right? So the best way to get signage is signage on the table, right? Or if the waiter comes in and says, you know, hey, this is what it is here, and waiter recommendation do work here. So if I can get that done, so at least I've got the first step, which is basic awareness. Then, of course, the product has to deliver. And, you know, once you go through the cycle twice or thrice, then hopefully you get hooked onto the product. Yeah.
Even at ambient temperature, this tastes very good. Huh?
Yeah.
Without ice, like ice always makes the taste much better. But it's very, very good. Very good. We had discussed a lot about the distributions of fears you had around inventory management and stocking and so on. You know, the logistics of it, convincing retail, figuring out whether it will fly off the shelf or go off the shelf at the same velocity which you had planned. How has that journey been for you?
So I think, of course, the initial journey is harder, right? But what we did was we made sure that even now, even if it's 500 stores, we're deeply working with, say, 80 to 100 stores. The intention is to deeply work with 200 stores,
okay,
right? So we didn't leave the backbone. We made sure that, you know, we are well-stocked in the 100 ones. And then everyone knows everyone. Right, the trade is small. The 500 people know each other. So once it starts doing well in a particular area, we move to the next. So if you want to do sampling, go to the next one, right? So maybe a pin code, say Basant Kunj, and there are 10 stores and two are doing well. And rather do the third one, which is adjacent to it, then go somewhere else in North Delhi or West Delhi.
Agreed.
So we go deep down into South Delhi is how many stores, North Delhi is how many stores, what is our market share within the city? So not only as a city level, so proud to say that within 2 years, at our price point, we are the number two brand because we have 15% more premium. So I'm just considering brands at my price point and slightly above as well. So we are the number two player in Delhi.
By number of cases?
By number of cases. But not the entire segment.
To already start thinking from brand share perspective is already quite
crazy. It's crazy. I agree. I completely agree.
Just to start thinking from that lens, you know.
Are you starting to see some kind of retail reaction from some of your competitors?
So yes, I do get, you know, news that the number one player is going about in the market and saying ki imat becho and all of those things. But I think that just pumps me up. I don't get. It's fine. No, it's you're in the market. You can't complain. No, he has done it.
No, that's goodness. He's doing marketing for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always saw that, you know, Foster's and Kingfisher. Kingfisher guys went out saying Foster mat becho. And Foster started selling it. So I said, yeah, thank you for doing my marketing.
Because it's building my brand in their head also, yeah, that these people are fearful.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe not delving too much, but rather understanding how South Delhi is performing. So I'm at a 35% market share at my price point in South Delhi, but I'm at 20% in North Delhi. I'm at 20% in East Delhi. So now we'll decide this month, you know, the entire team, the promoter team will focus on, say, one area. We will not go everywhere and we will not move out of that area until, say, we hit a 5% increment. We will not move. Whether it takes 15 days, 1 month, 45 days, 2 months, we will not move out. So there's no excuse that you shifted me from North Delhi to East Delhi. So they don't have any excuse now. So I say, we'll not move. No problem. I have time. Whiskey is aging. It takes time. Mm. So we have to be patient with our business and to do it properly. So
no shelf life issues also, no?
No, no. Thankfully.
It becomes more valuable as time moves.
Not in the glass.
Only when in
the cask. But there's no shelf life issue like a beer.
Beer.
I think beer has a lot many more.
And do you need a large sales team or you can operate?
No, you do need a
large sales team.
Do need a large sales team.
Sampling and all, sampling heavy plus relationship with restaurants plus retail plus
government. Similar.
It's also like different skills, I think.
No, I think like, for example, in Delhi, there will be people who are Haryanvi, people who are from Bihar, people who are from here only. So I think you have to understand their language. Right? If you go to the mountains, you'll wear a jacket, right? You didn't wear a jacket and people were like, why aren't you wearing a jacket?
Yeah,
right?
In the flight today, everybody turned around and, can you show you're walking out in that shirt?
You did not wear a jacket.
I just wore a very flimsy sweater. And the whole flight was wearing like a
down feather.
It was because you don't feel cold at all? Or?
No, because I have no perspective on Delhi winter. So I have zero perspective.
It's very cold.
Yeah, it is very cold.
So I think this just learning and respecting who the other person is and what language they're comfortable speaking in. Basic, if you just say hello, namaste in their language, you know, you are trying to say that I'm here for you. Instead of saying, you know, hum aa gaye, no.
Always the better approach.
I think we
always
have to be Indian there. We have to give respect first. It'll come back to us later. But we have to, as an organization, respect the person who is helping us sell this whiskey. Right, and I think if we do that consistently, they will understand that this is a good company. You know, they will stick to their word, which is very important. People don't stick to their words. They'll say something and they'll not follow up the next month or not do it. The person might go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So I think a smaller company, we are tracking our SKUs at every store. So we have a software that we work with. And the team meetings are now right now smaller, right? So we're there's a system that you can flag, okay, this job was assigned to the senior, he didn't follow up. So that's flagged.
What are the surprise elements in this business? Like suddenly you realize that pilferage bahut zyada ho raha hai. Like, what are the surprise things in a business like this?
Is there any pilferage in the business?
Yeah, so breakage happens. And what happens is it's
breakage is pilferage.
Yeah.
So okay. You know what?
There's no stealing from
there. No, so breakage is pilferage. No?
So what they do is, so
toot gaya sir, peene ke baad bottle toot gaya sir.
So it's in a way, it's sort of good in a way that he's breaking your whiskey and wanting to consume it, because there he's not bothered about koi dekh nahi raha hai. He'll actually drink.
Choose,
what he wants to drink.
Yeah.
That is the truest test. Ki wo shop band hone ke baad khud kya pee raha hai, right? So you have to have certain, you know, percentages that you have to allow. You can't be hona hi nahi chahiye. That's not possible, right? So you have to see what the market leader percentage of breakage is. Be more, we are younger, so you have to be more flexible. And rather say, if you want to drink, just tell us. Breakage mat karo. You know, if you want to enjoy whatever, rather tell us than, you know, make it into a breakage. But sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And
very interesting. But what Dexium? I think, how happy are you in the progress over the last year or so? If you were to scale on 1 to 10, I might ask Pradeep this question as well. But rate yourself on 1 to 10 and
rate myself
the business in
the business
trajectory. Like what has gone to plan? What is not?
So I think in our business, I think the brand is getting recognized in Delhi. People are demanding it. I think with the fund infusion now, you know, the output comes to show more. So we're restricted by the capital. So if there's X capital, we can produce this much and sell that much. So I think because sometimes there's a shortfall, which is a good thing in my way. So I sometimes undersupply to, say, a Chandigarh market. I want to keep it slow in the beginning, right? Because if you dump, then the conversation reverses. So you have to be way more patient in the beginning, and that pays off. So now when the volumes will go up or the number of stores will go up, my expenses will remain more stable than, you know, shoot up because I am going aggressively. So this much, I think we've learnt that going step by step is better. We have not foolishly gone about and opened, you know, I'm just opening Haryana. Right, so just one more state, right? So not gone to. Although we get calls, we get emails. We people call us and say, why aren't you in Maharashtra? Why aren't you in Bangalore? Why aren't you in Uttarakhand? All those places, right? Because people travel and they maybe enjoy the whiskey here in Delhi. But going slow, I think this has come out beautifully for us in our eyes at least.
But amazing, like post a fund infusion, going deep and going slow are two very counterintuitive things that founders do. people typically go wide
when he spoke
and go fast.
Yeah, when you spoke, I was like, somebody's mentored you really well.
Yeah,
thank you.
He's pretty much done this on his own, and full credit to him. I've just been involved in the last couple of months, so this is 100%.
No, but you've really like deeply committed to building it long term. Yeah, like it's very clear, like you're building it the memory. You know, like you're building it for the brand to stand as the brand. Because, you know, most people will just, like, don't dump, build a relationship with retailer, treat your salespeople respectfully, you know,
because it'll not
have
last.
Honest conversations.
Right now, I can open up, say, 5 cities in a month's time. But I have to support.
Yeah.
As a company, we need to have the resources to support the team, support the trade. We cannot just say, sell on its own. That's foolish.
Entrepreneurs are told, build the plane as you fly it. Shoot first, aim later, dekha jayega, fail fast.
Plane.
All of these things are very, like, very
different.
Counter to this.
Plane ban raha hai. Hame to dikh raha hai bante ve. Uda lenge jab ud raha hai. Right now, when to take off? I think we will know. Right, the team will know.
Yeah.
Now this is now the time to press. You have to mature, simmer first, because if you have to invest crores and crores and crores of investor money behind a brand.
Yeah,
you have
be
to
sure
cover your basics first.
I agree with you.
And you have to make sure that the trade is in your support.
It's at least important.
And you also said it's better off making trade win the first time you go. Re-entering a market is like starting worse than zero. It's like starting worse than zero.
Convince
the guy and, you know, and once people have made up their mind, it's very difficult to change their mind about something, you know, any process. So better to win the first time you go in with the discipline and also have the humility to accept if something is not working. So the person on the other side knows that they're at least dealing with somebody who's receptive and listens. Like if you go there saying, yeah, just do this, I want you to do this, and you, it doesn't work.
There's no way.
Yeah, there's just, the once the door is shut, the door is really shut.
Yeah.
You have to keep that door.
So one small thing that, say, I will do going forward for the next 6 months, I will visit Bombay, I will visit Bangalore, I will visit these places, share my whiskey, meet the trade people, allow them personally, right, and get to familiarize, you know, the brand, who we are as a company, let them enjoy the whiskey, retouch again, and then see where is the fitment happening, right, where are people more receptive to us, because if you're going out to a different city and people are not welcoming, it'll become increasingly difficult to be in that city.
Yeah.
And how do you make sure that you focus adequately on both the mountain whiskey and the classic?
So actually, this is just bottled it, you know, just yesterday for the first time. So this is from the first batch itself. I think Delhi, we have a strong base, so we have clear targets for what
both.
Clear targets.
You know, shiny new thing ka wahi hota hai. Like everyone suddenly gets attracted to this. Yehi bechna hai, then you
can't. No. So we can't leave the backbone. The core has to. We can't lose sight of the core. Even if I add something else, the core has to function first. You can't. And even if you look at any big company, right, like a single malt, all of these, they have a backbone somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. You can't lose your sight on that from that backbone, because that's what's helping any other thing follow through with it. Yeah. And I think. Simple stuff and just sticking to that simple stuff is important.
Sometimes the most difficult thing to do is just that.
That's
great. Stay simple. So then you visit you know, people like him, because they've already done it. So that there's a lot of maturity and you know who to work with. For example, in certain right now, I want to open duty free. Right.
So, I was just thinking about that.
I messaged him. So can you please introduce me to someone who has worked in duty free? Now this gentleman no longer works. Apparently he's in COVID. He left. But I'm going to meet him now. So even if that person is not in duty free anymore, at least he'll guide to a certain degree in how to go about it. Yeah. And I think the right introduction will make sure that the person gives you time.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. And is honest with you in that meeting. Than just, you know, go randomly, go approach a person.
There is pressure of connection. Pradeep, like, from your standpoint, as an advisor to Shivam, as he goes from 500 stores, 2 products now, 1, like, in a premium space, and building out the, you know, a whiskey brand that he wants to build out, like, what would you advise him in terms of what to look out for, how to be careful? Clearly, a lot of your influence is palpable, but what else?
I think so. First is clearly the vision, I think, which is very clearly defined. Right? I think it's a vision for the brand. I think that is you know, that's sort of pretty much, you know, getting cemented, and you'll keep refining it and keep refining it. I think second is really the journey, right? So the journey is, you know, is obviously going to be a long one. It's a marathon. There is no shortcut. Right? There is no shortcut, right? You can't take a shortcut. So it has to be step by step by step, right? I think a lot of companies, you know, I know of have made mistake in India, and they see India as, you know, India, right? And I keep, you know, telling them, I said, you know, if you were to launch a brand in Europe, would you launch it across Europe, or would you launch it, you know, country by country by country? And that's what we got to do in India, right? So each state is a different country, particularly in alcohol, yeah, with our rules and regulations. So it's really step by step. And as she talked about, and that's, you know, consistent, doing the basics right. I mean, and most people forget the basics, right? And so you want to do the sexy stuff, right? All the big things, and you forget about the small fires, and you forget about the basics. So I think as long as you stick to basics and you just keep doing them, keep doing them, keep doing them, keep doing them, you're all right.
Consistency. Yeah. So Suhasini, you've built and sold a business very successfully in the food space. But given what you now know, I think that's the thing, right? A conversation with people like Shivam and Pradeep is an education, right? Like, I always found it to be extremely educative. But if you were to combine what you know about the category now with your experiences having built Yoga Bar, what would you like? What would you advise Shivam as an entrepreneur?
I was saying this like a while ago. I actually think like the principle is all there.
Yeah.
Like I would just say, don't fall under the pressure of changing.
Yeah.
Don't change the course because you have an external influence. What you're intuitively thinking about is already correct. Like, respect your employees, respect your partners, and put the customer at the center of everything, and never lose sight that the product has to delight, especially in food, because you build, it's one of those few sectors where
you
the
can't
repeat,
cheat here. You
yeah,
can't
you
cheat
just
here.
Can't. And the Indian yeah. consumer is so discerning. You need that LTV, like the repeat ratios have to be really, really high, because that's the only thing that's worth the investment. And it seems to me that you're saying all of those things. So, yeah, and it's better to go slow than to, like, with trade especially, like, making mistakes are often very difficult to re-enter. So you need to have, and building humbly is really important. And I think you're, like, yeah, you're doing it beautifully.
Oh, very, very well said, Pradeep, Suhasini. I think Shivam, from our side, just a privilege to partner with you. For me, like, the test of entrepreneurship when I'm on the other side, it's not me. Like, I always feel, am I super excited about what this person is doing after my conversation with them is over? And with him, I always walk away feeling, wow, like, what a great journey. And just your insights on the consumer are just mind-blowing. I genuinely a learning for me and the team as well. But privileged to be a part of this, excited about the new launch. I finished, like, I don't know.
Two drinks? Now,
yeah, this is my second drink, and I'm going to hold on to this for a while and probably take a bottle home or buy one whenever possible. But privileged to be part of the journey. Love to see, you know, someone like a young entrepreneur from India take on giants. It's something that we have done, right, in our own ways. But, you know, in a category that's so much harder, like Suhasini said. Pradeep, thank you so much for the mentorship. For, you know, genuinely, like, people like you are rare. To kind of put everything to the side. You could easily go and have a drink in Jamaica and like spend your time doing things which are not stressful or time consuming.
India needs you, sir.
I have fun, right? I'm just having fun, right? I mean, you can't have more fun than this category.
Yeah.
And it's just fantastic. I just have fun.
But few people think that way. Like, I think you kind of underplay your role, but I hope people who are watching, who have the time and the experience, were able to help entrepreneurs in whatever way they can. So thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you.
And all the best from my side to you, man. It's a privilege.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So thank you for having us. I think this is fantastic. And I think, Shantanu, you're doing a fantastic job, you know, putting out shows like this. I mean, I think this is for the startup world and for entrepreneurs, where you can learn, see what others are doing. Is just fantastic. Keep going.
Thank you, Pradeep. Thank you so much. Means a lot.
Thank you for being that person that everybody says, I saw you on Shantanu. You sold a company, we don't care, but we saw you on Shantanu.